This is the reading for May 21st, Psalm 141. Lord, I call to you, come quickly, listen to me when I call to you. Let my prayer be like incense placed before you, and my praise like the evening sacrifice. Lord, help me control my tongue, help me be careful about what I say. Take away my desire to do evil or to join others in doing wrong. Don't let me eat tasty food with those who do evil. If a good person punished me, that would be kind. If he corrected me, that would be like perfumed oil on my head. I shouldn't refuse it, but I pray against those who do evil. Let their leaders be thrown down the cliffs. Then people will know that I have spoken correctly. The ground is plowed and broken up, in the same way our bones have been scattered at the grave. God, I look to you for help. I trust in you, Lord. Don't let me die. Protect me from the traps they set for me and from the net that evil people have spread. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, but let me pass by safely. 2 Samuel chapter 11. In the spring, when the kings normally went out to war, David sent out Joab, his servants, and all the Israelites. They destroyed the Ammonites and attacked the city of Rabbah. But David stayed in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of his palace. While he was on the roof, he saw a woman bathing. She was very beautiful. So David sent his servants to find out who she was. A servant answered, "That woman is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam. She is the wife of Uriah the Hittite." So David sent messengers to bring Bathsheba to him. When she came to him, he had sexual relations with her. Now Bathsheba had purified herself from her monthly period. Then she went back to her house, but Bathsheba became pregnant and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent a message to Joab, "Send Uriah the Hittite to me." And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go home and rest." So Uriah left the palace, and the king sent a gift to him. But Uriah did not go home. Instead, he slept outside the door of the palace, as all the king's officers did. The officers told David, "Uriah did not go home." Then David said to Uriah, "You came from a long trip. Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to him, "The ark and the soldiers of Israel and Judah are staying in tents. My master Joab and his officers are camping out in the fields. It isn't right for me to go home to eat and drink and have sexual relations with my wife." David said to Uriah, "Stay here today. Tomorrow I'll send you back to the battle." So Uriah stayed in Jerusalem that day and the next. Then David called Uriah to come to see him. So Uriah ate and drank with David. David made Uriah drunk, but he still did not go home. That evening, Uriah again slept with the king's officers. The next morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by Uriah. In the letter, David wrote, "Put Uriah on the front lines where the fighting is worst and leave him there alone. Let him be killed in battle." Joab watched the city and saw where its strongest defenders were and put Uriah there. When the men of the city came out to fight against Joab, some of David's men were killed, and Uriah the Hittite was one of them. Then Joab sent David a complete account of the war. Joab told the messenger, "Tell King David what happened in the war. After you finish, the king may be angry and ask, 'Why did you go so near the city to fight? Didn't you know they would shoot arrows from the city wall? Do you remember who killed Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal? It was a woman on the city wall. She threw a large stone for grinding grain on Abimelech and killed him there in Thebez. Why did you go so near the wall?' If King David asked that, tell him, 'Your servant Uriah the Hittite also died.'" The messenger left and went to David and told him everything Joab had told him to say. The messenger told David, "The men of Ammon were winning. They came out and attacked us in the field, but we fought them back to the city gate. The archers on the city wall shot at your servants, and some of your men were killed. Your servant Uriah the Hittite also died." David said to the messenger, "Say this to Joab, 'Don't be upset about this. The sword kills everyone the same. Make a stronger attack against the city and capture it. Encourage Joab with these words.'" When Bathsheba heard that her husband was dead, she cried for him. After she finished her time of sadness, David sent servants to bring her to his house. She became David's wife and gave birth to his son, but the Lord did not like what David had done. 2 Samuel chapter 12. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to David, he said, "There were two men in a city. One was rich, but the other was poor. The rich man had many sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing, except one little female lamb he had bought. The poor man fed the lamb, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food and drank from his cup and slept in his arms. The lamb was like a daughter to him. Then a traveler stopped to visit the rich man. The rich man wanted to feed the traveler, but he didn't want to take one of his own sheep or cattle. Instead, he took the lamb from the poor man and cooked it for his visitor. David became very angry at the rich man. He said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this should die. He must pay for the lamb four times for doing such a thing. He had no mercy." Then David said to Nathan, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I appointed you king of Israel and saved you from Saul. I gave you his kingdom and his wives, and I made you king of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you even more. So why did you ignore the Lord's command? Why did you do what he says is wrong? You killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword of the Ammonites and took his wife to be your wife. Now there will always be people in your family who will die by a sword because you did not respect me. You took the wife of Uriah the Hittite for yourself. This is what the Lord says. I am bringing trouble to you from your own family. While you watch, I will take your wives from you and give them to someone who is very close to you. He will have sexual relations with your wives, and everyone will know it. You had sexual relations with Bathsheba in secret, but I will do this so all the people of Israel can see it." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan answered, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You will not die, but what you did caused the Lord's enemies to lose all respect for him. For this reason, the son who was born to you will die." Then Nathan went home, and the Lord caused the son of David and Bathsheba, Uriah's widow, to be very sick. David prayed to God for the baby. David refused to eat or drink. He went into his house and stayed there, lying on the ground all night. The older leaders of David's family came to him and tried to pull him up from the ground, but he refused to get up or to eat food with them. On the seventh day, the baby died. David's servants were afraid to tell him that the baby was dead. They said, "Look, we tried to talk to David while the baby was alive, but he refused to listen to us. If we tell him the baby is dead, he may do something awful." When David saw his servants whispering, he knew that the baby was dead. So he asked them, "Is the baby dead?" They answered, "Yes, he is dead." Then David got up from the floor, washed himself, put lotions on, and changed his clothes. Then he went into the Lord's house to worship. After that, he went home and asked for something to eat. His servants gave him some food, and he ate. David's servants said to him, "Why are you doing this? When the baby was still alive, you refused to eat and you cried. Now that the baby is dead, you get up and eat food." David said, "While the baby was still alive, I refused to eat and I cried. I thought, who knows? Maybe the Lord will feel sorry for me and let the baby live. But now that the baby is dead, why should I go without food? I can't bring him back to life. Someday I will go to him, but he cannot come back to me." Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. He slept with her and had sexual relations with her. She became pregnant again and had another son, whom David named Solomon. The Lord loved Solomon. The Lord sent word through Nathan the prophet to name the baby Jedidiah, because the Lord loved the child. Joab fought against Rabbah, a royal city of the Ammonites, and he was about to capture it. Joab sent messengers to David and said, "I have fought against Rabbah and have captured its water supply. Now bring the other soldiers together and attack this city. Capture it before I capture it myself, and it is called by my name." So David gathered all the army and went to Rabbah and fought against it and captured it. David took the crown off their king's head and had it placed on his own head. That gold crown weighed about 75 pounds, and it had valuable gems in it. And David took many valuable things from the city. He also brought out the people of the city and forced them to work with saws, iron picks, and axes. He also made them build with bricks. David did this to all the Ammonite cities. Then David and all his army returned to Jerusalem.
Chapter 7.
Jesus later traveled throughout Galilee. He didn't want to travel in Judea because Jews there wanted to kill him. The time for the Jewish festival of Booths was near, So Jesus' brothers told him, "Leave this place and go to Judea so that your disciples can see the things that you're doing. No one does these things secretly when he wants to be known publicly. If you do these things, you should let the world see you." Even his brothers didn't believe in him. Jesus told them, "Now is not the right time for me to go. Any time is right for you. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I say that what everyone does is evil. Go to the festival. I'm not going to this festival right now. Now is not the right time for me to go." After saying this, Jesus stayed in Galilee. But after his brothers had gone to the festival, Jesus went. He didn't go publicly, but secretly. The Jews were looking for Jesus in the crowd at the festival. They kept asking, "Where is that man?" The crowds argued about Jesus. Some people said, "He is a good man," while others said, "No, he isn't. He deceives the people." Yet no one would talk openly about him because they were afraid of the Jews. When the festival was half over, Jesus went to the temple courtyard and began to teach. The Jews were surprised and asked, "How can this man be so educated when he hasn't gone to school?" Jesus responded to them, "What I teach doesn't come from me, but from the one who sent me. Those who want to follow the will of God will know if what I teach is from God or if I teach my own thoughts. Those who speak their own thoughts are looking for their own glory, but the man who wants to bring glory to the one who sent him is a true teacher and doesn't have dishonest motives. Didn't Moses give you his teachings? Yet none of you does what Moses taught you. So why do you want to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You're possessed by a demon. Who wants to kill you?" Jesus answered them, "I performed one miracle, and all of you are surprised by it. Moses gave you the teaching about circumcision, although it didn't come from Moses, but from our ancestors. So you circumcise a male on a day of worship. If you circumcise a male on the day of worship to follow Moses' teachings, why are you angry with me because I made a man entirely well on the day of worship? Stop judging by outward appearance. Instead, judge correctly." Some of the people who lived in Jerusalem said, "Isn't this the man they want to kill? But look at this. He's speaking in public, and no one is saying anything to him. Can it be that the rulers really know that this man is the Messiah? However, we know where this man comes from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." Then, while Jesus was teaching in the temple courtyard, he said loudly, "You know me, and you know where I come from. I didn't decide to come on my own. The one who sent me is true. He's the one you don't know. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." The Jews tried to arrest him, but couldn't because his time had not yet come. However, many people in the crowd believed in him. They asked, "When the Messiah comes, will he perform more miracles than this man has?" The Pharisees heard the crowd saying things like this about him. So the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest Jesus. Jesus said, "I will still be with you for a little while. Then I will go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you won't find me. You can't go where I'm going." The Jews said among themselves, "Where does this man intend to go so that we won't find him? Does he mean that he'll live with the Jews who are scattered among the Greeks and that he'll teach the Greeks? What does he mean when he says, 'You will look for me, but you won't find me, and you can't go where I'm going'? On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus was standing in the temple courtyard. He said loudly, "Whoever is thirsty must come to me to drink. As Scripture says, streams of living water will flow from deep within the person who believes in me." Jesus said this about the Spirit whom his believers would receive. The Spirit was not yet evident as it would be after Jesus had been glorified. After some of the crowd heard Jesus say these words, they said, "This man is certainly the prophet." Other people said, "This man is the Messiah." Still other people asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Doesn't Scripture say that the Messiah will come from the descendants of David and from the village of Bethlehem where David lived?" So the people were divided because of Jesus. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but they couldn't. When the temple guards returned, the chief priests and Pharisees asked them, "Why didn't you bring Jesus?" The temple guards answered, "No human has ever spoken like this man." The Pharisees asked the temple guards, "Have you been deceived too? Has any ruler or any Pharisee believed in him? This crowd is cursed because it doesn't know Moses' teachings." One of those Pharisees was Nicodemus, who had previously visited Jesus. Nicodemus asked them, "Do Moses' teachings enable us to judge a person without first hearing that person's side of the story? We can't judge a person without finding out what that person has done." They asked Nicodemus, "Are you saying this because you're from Galilee? Study the Scriptures and you'll see that no prophet comes from Galilee." Then each of them went home.